The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus radio broadcast and podcast. We're glad you're with us today. So if there are no works or other requirements for eternal salvation except to believe for it, won't that encourage people to take advantage of it, so to speak, and not appreciate grace? Let's talk about that today here on Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us, friend. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, faithalone.org. Lots of information there. You can also view and listen to our short videos on the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. New videos uploaded 2 to 3 times per week. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. And now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Today we have a question sent from Michael. And Michael is asking about, in response to a radio episode that we did together that we called, If I Lose Assurance, Do I Lose Everlasting Life? And Michael writes, during this episode, the common question or objection to the free grace position was discussed concerning assurance and once saved, always saved, giving people a license to sin and to live any way they desire with no consequences. I think that accusation is a straw man argument. The evidence I have seen doesn't back it up. Having experienced free grace and mild lordship teaching in my life, my experiences would indicate that commitment and perseverance is much more likely from those who hold the free grace position. The impossible standards of lordship salvation seem to burn people out, and many walk away when they see they can't live up to the requirements. I'm sure it is possible, but I've never known a person who holds the free grace theology that has also believed they had a license to sin. I would like to hear your thoughts on this subject.
Wow. Excellent, Michael. I appreciate it very much. Notice what he said, something along the lines of, I can live any way I want with no consequences. Well, first of all, everybody lives any way they want. Lordship salvation, work salvation, everybody. What are they saying? Because they believe they're going to go to hell if they commit immorality, that they're living the way they don't want? Are there really people in the work salvation camp that think the best way to live would be a sex addict? I don't think so. Is there anybody in the work salvation camp that thinks, wow, if I could go to heaven and be an alcoholic, I'd be an alcoholic? I don't think so. The reason people go to 12-step programs is because they realize addiction is not good for you, right?
Yeah, even if they don't know they have everlasting life, they still know this is not the state I want to be in.
An atheist.
Right.
So I would suggest that the idea of a life without consequences is ridiculous. Everybody knows life has consequences. If you cheat on your spouse, there are going to be consequences. If you cheat on the IRS, there are going to be consequences. And if you're speeding at 140 miles an hour on the freeway, police are probably going to get you, and there are going to be some serious consequences. The idea of no consequences, nobody believes that. Now, maybe sometimes Lordship Salvation people will speak this way, but I think they realize nobody, I would agree with him, nobody in the free grace camp is saying that our eternal life is a license to sin. Now, the closest I ever got to that, and I will admit, there was a time in my life when I was in a church where the pastor said, and then the pastor that followed him said, and I ended up leaving the church over this, that 1 John 1:9 is a salvation verse, and that at the moment we're saved, we confess that we are sinners and that we're born again by recognizing we're a sinner, and then I guess they would say believe in Jesus. This pastor said, and the one that followed him, we never need to confess our sins, and in fact, confessing our sins is legalistic. And I believe they both said that we're never out of fellowship with God.
There's never a need for confession to get back into fellowship with God. There is no need for fellowship forgiveness in our relationship with
God. Right, because we're never out of fellowship. The one of the two actually was the ghostwriter in a book called Classic Christianity, which argued that we're never out of fellowship with God. And the person who had this major radio ministry, he actually gave an illustration on the air in which he said, imagine that, let's say, a king wants to marry this woman who's a prostitute. So the king loves her and he marries her. But in order to help her overcome the prostitution, he makes prostitution legal in his kingdom. And he says, once she realizes it's no longer against the law, its appeal will go away and she won't do it anymore. Right. And that was his view in the Christian life. He taught, and so did these two guys who were influenced by him, that there are no commandments for Christians. There are no laws for Christians. Well, they would say commandments, but not laws. And so I guess they saw commandments in the New Testament as suggestions. So he made a proclamation that prostitution was no longer illegal, and supposedly then his wife stopped prostitution. The weird thing was this guy was arrested shortly, about a year or two later, for soliciting prostitution, and it was a sting operation where the Dallas police had a female police officer who was masquerading as a prostitute, and he pleaded no contest because they had him recorded as offering money for a certain sex act. Well, he claimed later on that he really wasn't soliciting prostitution. It wasn't very convincing, and he was actually dropped from a whole lot of radio stations.
We will rejoin in just a moment, but years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
So in answer to Michael's question, maybe there are a small number of people who are in the bigger free grace movement, which would be the flexible free grace person. This person would have been.
I think they call these almost, I think I've heard them called online now, hyper grace.
That right.
There's no consequences for the believer, even here and now, to sin.
Yeah, I would say this is hyper grace. Now, even this guy did teach there were consequences, but mm-hmm. he called them the natural consequences, not God's discipline, but that God has natural consequences built into the universe. So if you commit murder, one of the natural consequences is the government is going to send you to jail, or they're going to execute you or whatever. And they would say, if you're involved in sex outside of marriage, you may get an STD, but that's not because God's causing it. It's just a natural consequence. So there are some people like that. But that's extremely rare, and I would agree with you. That's kind of hyper grace, and that's not really free grace. In terms of the free grace position, no, I would agree with him that free grace is moving people to holiness.
Isn't that true in your own life?
Yeah. In my life, I was in a extreme Lordship Salvation group until age 20. I came to faith when I was about 20 and a half. I had been taught that if you believed in eternal security, you'd go out and live like the devil. I came to believe in the message of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and I knew I was saved once and for all by faith apart from works. I knew I could never lose it. And you know what? My life became more godly, more righteous. I had been self-righteous to that point, and I looked down at everybody else's less pious than I was. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm a sinner saved by grace, and we're all sinners, and the only way any of us can be saved is by grace through faith apart from works. I became someone that was easier to live with because I wasn't looking down on everybody else.
Yeah, that was the same for myself in my life. When I came to faith, and it was knowing that I had, you know, eternal destiny with Jesus forever, I was so grateful for that. I wanted to serve him. I wanted to obey, you know, and it's out of love, not out of some sort of fear that I'm not going to end up in the right place.
Exactly. Now, your son is pre-med. He's actually was accepted at one medical school, but turned it down because he wanted a different one. And he's reapplying. And this year, hopefully, I believe he will be accepted either to med school or to DO school. Either way, he'll become a doctor. And when I came to faith, I was pre-med. And I had applied to like 20 medical schools. And I ended up, if I remember right, I had 6 interviews, which if you have 6 interviews, you ought to be accepted because basically it takes 2 or 3 interviews to get accepted. But I didn't. I didn't get accepted. But part of the reason I didn't get accepted was when I came to faith in Christ, I no longer was interested in going to medical school. I wanted to spend the rest of my life telling people about this free gift. And I changed the direction of my life. And so in those interviews, I wasn't interested in impressing the interviewers because I really wasn't interested in med school anymore. I wanted to go to seminary and I wanted to serve the Lord the rest of my life. And I ended up, instead of being a doctor of medicine, I became a doctor of theology. And I'm so glad I did, because even though God could have used me as a doctor, and being a physician is a fine profession and you can have a tremendous ministry for Christ as a doctor, in my case, my niche was more this.
Right.
I look back on my life and I see God was moving me toward Grace Evangelical Society and toward doing what I'm doing. So I agree with you. The free grace position didn't move me to be an alcoholic or an immoral person. It moved me to godliness.
Yeah. I think generally speaking, the most obedient children have loving parents who give the right balance. They know their parents love them. There, nothing can keep that away. But they also have parents that are going to discipline them when they go astray.
Right.
And when we believe in Jesus for everlasting life, we have the ultimate parent, our ultimate father. God's going to discipline us when we go astray, but we know we're never going to be apart from his love. And that's what motivates us to be obedient children for him.
We, in free grace theology, we teach the chastising ministry of God, that if we walk to the far country, we're going to experience famine, like Luke 15. Yeah. Nobody's going to give us anything. We're going to be in pain and suffering. We teach blessings in this life if we obey God. We teach blessings in the life to come in the judgment seat of Christ. So we're teaching a full-orbed experience on why we should be motivated highly to please God, both because of gratitude and a desire for his blessings now, a desire not to experience his judgment here and now. And so, yeah, I would say, Michael, the free grace position is the opposite of a license to sin. It's a license to godliness, to holiness. It's a license to being an overcomer, to being victorious. We in the free grace movement aim to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we do that by keeping
grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our next episode, we begin a new short series about a commentary on Isaiah. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.